All right, go ahead and open your Bibles tonight, if you will, over to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number six. I am going to try to take just a very few moments here because of we get to observe the ordinance of baptism here in a few moments. But it affords us opportunity, I think, to talk a little bit about the subject of baptism. Brethren, I fear that in many ways, if we're not very careful, if we're not very diligent, we will start losing our identity as New Testament Baptist churches. I have a genuine concern in my heart and over that, because we just don't place the emphasis and the importance on the ordinance of baptism as our forefathers once did. I fear that is so. Now, I think that truthfully, that can be laid at your pastor's feet, at your pastor's fault, because I know I don't teach on this subject enough. I feel like sometimes if I teach on a subject so much, and you already know that, and I feel like I'm just being redundant. But the fact of the matter is, so many of us do not know why baptism has been such a volatile issue down through the years. When I was in Bible college, I went to Appalachian Bible College up in West Virginia, and it was not a Baptist school per se. It was more like your Dallas Theological Seminaries, your Bible churches, things like that. And I remember when I was in Bible college that they were always quoting H.A. Ironside all the time in the classes there. And H.A. Ironside, I think, was in many ways a great man of God. I believe I'll see him in heaven. But they almost revered H.A. Ironside. And I remember Dr. Penner in the class quoting Ironside on Romans chapter number 6. And Ironside was always, he'd always say, listen, there is no water whatsoever in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, he said, was all about spirit baptism. And I think about that, and listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what Paul is really talking about in Romans chapter 6. He is talking about water baptism. And I don't have time to go into all this stuff about spirit baptism. I'll simply say this. You need not look for another baptism with the Holy Spirit of God. Christ baptized his church. He empowered his church. It was a good baptism. It needs not repeat it again. Nor are you baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into this big invisible church that Protestants like to talk about. Folks, you're added to his body through the waters of scriptural baptism. And so I think we need to be very clear on this. Let me just read my text. I have just two or three very simple things I'm going to throw out, probably open up a can of worms, but I'm not going to say anything new to you, I'm sure, tonight. But listen to what Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, and tell me that it's not talking about water baptism. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" There are those today that says, well, if God's grace is more and more bestowed upon us, if we sin, well, let's just sin more and more and more, and more of God's grace will be bestowed upon us. And so Paul asks that question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin, he said, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now listen, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, he says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Listen, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. And then he says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let me go ahead and quit my scripture reading right there. And again, I got to do this very quickly, but I want to give you just three very simple things tonight about what we believe and stand for as a New Testament Baptist church about the ordinance of baptism. I believe it is one of the most beautiful ordinances, one of the most beautiful practices that a church can ever partake of. I really do. And listen, if you are but a casual reader of church history, I hope some of you would take time to see where we came from. But if you are just a casual reader of church history, you have to know that baptism is the bloodiest issue that the Lord's church has ever had to endure. It was baptism primarily. Many of you may not know this, but listen, millions of our forefathers were literally slaughtered because of their conviction about believers' baptism. They were slaughtered by the thousands upon thousands upon millions of people because, as a matter of fact, you may not know this, that's where our name came from. We were named by our enemies. We were. Because they rejected infant baptism and alien immersion, they were called by our enemies Anabaptists. And the word Anna just means re. They were called rebaptizers because they would baptize a man who made a profession of faith. They would not recognize infant baptism. Later on, Anna was dropped, and they were just called Baptist. Now listen, I always say this. I am a Christian by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am saved simply because Christ saved me. But folks, I am, as I said the other day, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, I am Baptist by conviction, you see. And so I want us to think about the importance of what Sister Lynn is doing tonight. Let me just give you three things. In the first place, I want to talk about our position on the subject of baptism, why we do what we do, why we have a conviction that we have about the ordinance of baptism. And then secondly, the picture of baptism, because listen, it is one of the most beautiful pictures that we have, I think, as Sister Lynn goes into the waters of baptism, what she is picturing before the whole world. And then lastly, the purpose of baptism. I'll just tell you up front, and I'll say it again at the end, baptism does not save. Baptism does not add anything whatsoever to your righteousness. You are as righteous in Jesus Christ as you ever will be. But it is an extremely important ordinance. Now, at the risk of being repetitive, let me also give you three or four things, by way of introduction to keep in mind about what is it that is required in the Scripture for a baptism to be valid or to be scriptural. Now, some of my brethren, they narrow it down to just three things. I actually add a fourth. They may or may not agree with me, but I'm going to add it anyway since I'm preaching, if that's all right with you. In the first place, it requires proper authority. And folks, the authority that we have to perform either of the ordinances is contained in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus gave the commission to his church. He said, listen, all power, literally I'm told in the Greek, that means all authority is given on me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, he gave that authority to his New Testament church. He did not give it to the individuals per se. Now, I point that out because I am not qualified to baptize outside the bounds, outside the authority of Faith Baptist Church. I am under the authority of this church. I am not to lord over God's heritage. And so the authority, it must begin with the proper authority. I think you'll agree with that. Second of all, it requires a proper candidate. Who is it that we baptize? We baptize those who have shown evidence that they have been born again, that they have repented of their sins. Sister Lynn gave testimony that she repented of her sins. She believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the person that we baptize. We outright reject alien immersion. We reject infant baptism because they have not the ability to place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. It requires a proper candidate, somebody who has been saved. You're not baptized to be saved. You're baptized because God saved your soul. So it requires the proper authority. It requires the proper candidate. And, of course, it requires the proper mode. We only recognize a burial. A complete burial is the only thing that baptism can be. It is immersion. You understand. We reject pouring. We reject sprinkling because it cannot picture the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Boy, that's pretty narrow, isn't it? But listen, I want to be as narrow as the Bible is narrow. And then I would add a fourth, and that is a proper administrator. Some of my brethren may not agree with me, but I would challenge them to prove me wrong in the Bible. Somebody says, well, who can the church authorize? Well, folks, you only have the example in the Word of God that they laid hands on individuals and ordained them, and then they performed the ordinance of baptism. That's the only example you have. You say, wait a minute, well, baptism is a church ordinance. They can authorize whoever they want. You're mistaken. The church is not the last authority. This is the last authority. We cannot do with baptism as we see fit. So I believe it requires a man who's been duly set aside and authorized by that church to perform the ordinance of baptism. Anyway, I throw all those out at the risk of sounding repetitive, but I think we got to be repetitive because it's not every kind of baptism is scriptural in nature. Now, let me give you these three things very quickly. In the first place, talk about what our position is on baptism. Now, I throw this in because invariably, I suppose the most one of the most frequent questions that is asked of me is baptism absolutely necessary for the child of God? Is it essential? Now, people look at me funny when I give an answer. You know what I give them? I say, yes, it is absolutely necessary for the child of God, for his spiritual well-being, for his walk in obedience to Christ. If you have been saved by the grace of God, you ought to be baptized. Now, I did not say it's essential to become a child of God. Almost every Protestant denomination in the world, if you read their doctrinal statement, they call baptism a sacrament. And a sacrament can be defined as a means of God conveying grace through the waters of baptism, or through taking the Lord's Supper. In other words, it adds something to your righteousness. It adds something to your salvation. It is an ordinance. It is a picture. It is not a sacrament. But it is not necessary to become a child of God, but I believe it's absolutely necessary for the welfare and benefit of being a child of God. Who would reject the first act of obedience to our Lord? Right? So I say, yes, you ought to be baptized. Now, Jesus set the example in Matthew chapter number 3. You remember when he came to John the Baptist and John said, you're coming to be baptized by me. I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus had suffered to be so for it, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And the Bible says he suffered and he baptized us. Let me ask you a question. If anybody could baptize, why did Jesus walk 60 miles to be baptized of John? Why didn't he just stay where he was at and let anybody baptize him? John was a man sent from God, right? And you find that pattern throughout the Word of God. A fellow named Philip went down to Samaria by the authority of the faith at Jerusalem. He meets an Ethiopian eunuch there, preaches the gospel to him out of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And that eunuch said, well, here's water. Well, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And you know what they did? They went down into the water. He wanted to be baptized. He wanted to walk in obedience to his master. It's exactly what Lynn is doing tonight. It didn't make him saved. He did it because he was already saved, you see. You go to Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. And the Bible says there, they that received the word, gladly received the word, were baptized. And how did they say? And the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. In other words, they believed and they were baptized. You find that throughout the Bible. So our position on baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it is absolutely necessary after you're saved. It is the doorway to the Lord's church. Are you with me? Second of all, we have, of course, the picture of baptism. And now listen, this is glory. This is important too, because baptism really pictures two important things. As Lynn goes into the waters of baptism tonight, she is picturing Christ, of course, first and foremost. We have two ordinances. There is no more. We don't recognize foot washing as an ordinance. We have Lord's Supper and baptism. You know what? Both of them picture Christ. She pictures how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. She's picturing to the whole world that I believe the gospel. Listen, sinner, you want to be saved. You believe that you have a Savior that died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the... That's the gospel. But she's picturing to the world. You know what? I believe the gospel. That's glorious. So she's picturing Christ, but she's also picturing herself. In fact, here's what Paul said in verse number 4, just to remind you. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. She's picturing Christ in his death, his burial, his resurrection, but at the same time she's picturing herself. How that she has died to sin, she is buried with him in baptism, and then she raises again to walk in newness of life. Does not wash away her sin at all. In fact, she's going to find sin is ever present with her from this point on. Always will be. But she's picturing herself dying to sin and raising and now living for Christ. That's what's important. So we have the picture of baptism. Last of all, we have the purpose of baptism. And again, this is important, because baptism, here it is in a nutshell. Remember I said at the beginning, I fear we're losing our identity. Baptism is all about identifying you. That's what it is. She first identifies herself with Christ. That's important. I'm one of his. I'm testifying to the whole world. I am now a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not ashamed to identify myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, it also identifies her with his New Testament church. It is the doorway to the church. She's saying to the whole world, I am part of this body of believers. I belong here. I'm part of his church. And folks, that is a tremendously important reason for baptism. So, I fear that in many ways, if we're not very careful, if we're not very diligent, we'll start losing our identity. as a New Testament church. But thank God, the Lord given us two ordinances. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper, as we sit and take the wine and the bread, we are picturing the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering for us, in the shedding of his blood. And then tonight, when we go into the waters of baptism, we're picturing Christ in his death and in his burial and his resurrection. Let me just ask you, and we'll quit this, because are you saved, first and foremost? That's the most important thing. If you're not saved, today's a good day. You repent of your sins. You believe the gospel, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Are you saved? And if you say, I am saved, then I would challenge you, follow the Lord in scriptural baptism into membership of a New Testament church. That's God's design. Let's stand.